Good evening, everyone. This is Dolores Cannon again with the Metaphysical Hour. And we're live tonight. This is December the 14th, year 2012. We're really counting down to the end of the year. It's going to be here before we know it. And so we're going to be live tonight. So anybody that wants to call in, be glad to do it, because we're just going to be talking about our China trip. The toll-free number is 1-888-627-6008, 888-627-6008, if you want to call in and talk. And you know what I was thinking, Julia? Here, everybody was making all of this big thing about 12-12-12. There was supposed to be something going on that date.
There may have been. I don't know.
Well, we didn't hear about anything. If anybody out there knows about anything, we would sure like to hear it. I had a client that day, and I know we had a fantastic session, but other than that, I didn't feel anything. They were talking about, what, a surge in energy or something?
It was supposed to be a gateway. It was supposed to be like a bigger energy than the 21st even, so I don't know.
Or a big gateway opening up or something?
Right, it was supposed to be a bigger event than, it's like a preparatory thing for the 21st is all I heard.
Well, all I know is I didn't feel anything, I just had a fantastic session that's going to go in one of my future books. But other than that, there wasn't anything out of the ordinary.
Not that I noticed, I just worked, so it could be I was just oblivious.
Trying to catch up from the trip. That's why I think it's going to be on the 21st. It's going to pass, and nobody's not even going to know anything about it.
Yeah, good day.
I was talking to a very old friend of mine last night, and I was bringing it up about the 21st, and she didn't know what I was talking about. But then she doesn't have a computer. She doesn't watch TV. So she really doesn't know any of this talk that's been going on for years now, building up to the 21st, the end of the world, and all of that stuff. So it shows if you're not out of it, time is just passing like it's supposed to, I guess.
Right, right.
You get caught up in what everybody else is saying.
Yes, but I know that she does studies on how things seem, the Earth seems to be shifting, so she does know that it's doing that.
Yeah, she does it by measuring the way the sun is and things like that. But she hadn't heard anything about this was supposed to be a monumental day. So there are people out there who don't have computers and who are into the middle of it, I guess.
Yeah, they have other things to do.
Yeah. Then sit around and worry about it, and it's going to come and go, and nothing's going to happen. That's what we know, except we're going to have a party.
Right.
We're going to be in London at the movie premiere. We talked about that last week, and it's going to be fantastic.
Just a movie premiere.
The party afterwards.
Right. Well, the whole party during. It's all meditation and the Declaration of Consciousness and everything. It's a big
thing.
Event.
It is, but I mean... I don't expect the end of the world. That's not going to come to a climax with that on that night. Okay, but anyway, that's where we're going to be next week. But then after that, I think we're home for a while.
I really don't know.
I had to look at the calendar. We're on the road so much. But I do want to talk about our trip to China. Then if anybody does have anything they want to bring up, we'd be really willing to talk about it. But we left here, you know, after we got back from 3 months in Europe, and we were home for just about 2 weeks, and we had a class here in Arkansas, and our classes are getting huge. And then after that, we took off for China for 3 weeks. And it was really fantastic. But it started off on kind of a, I don't know what you want to call it. It wasn't a negative note. It was a confused note.
Confused, but actually it worked out very well because it meant less time on a plane.
Yeah. But we left Arkansas, and there was a storm going on. And my original plans was to go to England and spend the night and then go on to Beijing the next day, because that is a long flight. We were allowing time for that. But there was a storm going on. So we flew to Chicago, and the plane circled and circled and circled, and it couldn't land. And by the time it finally got on the ground, we had missed our flight.
Right.
So then we're trying to find out what to do. And originally we were supposed to go to Canada and make a connection to go over to England. Wow. Kind of roundabout, but that was the original plan. But then we get there, we can't go on. So we threw a lot of rigmarole. We were able to get out, and they wanted to do a direct flight to China. And I don't like to do that because those are long flights. I usually like to break them up. So I wasn't too enthusiastic about that. But they said it was either that or go and sit 9 hours in the airport in London in Heathrow.
Right. And then the two flights, the flight to London and the flight on, the both combined were going to be almost twice as long as this one flight that they were talking about. So
we thought, oh, okay, I guess we don't have any choice. That was the only thing we could do, was just take that to get there. But it turned out to be a surprise. We didn't go the way we thought we were going to go. American Airlines now is going a different route. Instead of going across the Atlantic, we went up over the top, over the North Pole. And now we can say we've been over the North Pole.
Mm-hmm.
This ended up being a complete round-the-world trip. So we've done that a couple of times. So now we can say we did another round-the-world trip. But it went up over Canada and over the North Pole to come down through Mongolia, Siberia, Mongolia, and down into China, that direction. So, first time we've done that. So, it was the middle of the night, and it was dark. You couldn't see much out of there. Just a minute, I got a trickle in my throat. Trying to see out there, and all there was snow, as much as you can make out, because it was dark. But I saw the strangest phenomenon. I thought it was the sun rising, but then I got to thinking, no, it can't be, because the sun should be going down. But I guess from up at the top of the world, it's not doing either one. It was just staying in the same place.
Mm.
So what I saw first was like, it's night, and there was like a band of red all around the horizon. Get that tickle out of there. A band of red around the horizon with the black sky above it, and barely see snow on the ground. Then after a little while, after we flew for a while, above the red line was a white line. That's why I thought the sun was rising. And I said, wow, how many people get to see the sun rise over the North Pole? But then the more I thought about it, it wasn't. It would have been the sun trying to go down. But that's all it ever did, just have this band of light. And so it was really strange to watch it. It was beautiful. I was thinking, how many people are going to get to see that? And we had got all the way over Siberia, headed into Mongolia before the sky turned back to black again. So it was a very strange thing to see. The sun's not make up its mind what it wants to do. So we've had some strange phenomena when we've been flying.
Mm-hmm.
But then we get to Beijing, the middle of the night. We tried to get word to the people who were supposed to meet us, and they didn't get the messages. So here we come into Beijing. Our translator's not there. Our ride isn't there, and we don't know what to do. And everybody's speaking Chinese.
You just go with the flow,
but we were really tired by that time, too. All we had was the address for the hotel we were supposed to go to.
And a phone number.
Yeah, that's all we had. We thought, well, there's nobody here. We just get over there, even though it was 1, 2 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and hope we can find it. So that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And the cab driver didn't know where to go.
Right.
We're trying to talk to him. And the hotel was really strange because there wasn't any signs to tell anybody where it was or how to get to it. It was in the middle of the woods.
Right, it's out of the way.
Yeah, very much out of the way. But we finally came dragging in there. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And still nobody to translate. And they couldn't figure out, what are you doing here? We're not supposed to come in till the next day. We was in there a day early. And trying to tell them, not speaking English, and our translator's not around. All we wanted at that minute was just to find a bed, go to sleep, because it didn't matter. But anyway, that was the strange way we came in.
Mm-hmm.
But we have all kinds of adventures when we're doing these trips. But it ended up our luggage wasn't there.
Yeah, our luggage took the other ride. We went to Canada.
Yeah, they said it'd be on the same plane, but I didn't think so because when we got that plane, we had to leave now. We didn't have any choice. You had to get right to the gate and leave right now on the over-the-pole trip. So I didn't think that the luggage was going to make it. So we get there, no luggage. So we went 3 days, mm-hmm. no luggage,
mm-hmm.
sleeping in the clothes. Nothing at all.
We had beds.
We had a bed, yeah.
We had food.
Yeah.
We had shelter. We had showers. We just had dirty clothes.
Yeah. And I was supposed to, our translator arrived the next morning, and he was apologizing because he didn't get the message. And well, I said, we were okay. They were trying to track the luggage down. And that night, or was the next night, I was supposed to do a lecture.
No. 2 days later.
I was supposed to do a lecture in Beijing, and the luggage hadn't arrived yet. And I said, well, I don't have my clothes. And he said, well, does that mean you're going to cancel the lecture because you don't have your clothes? No, I won't do that. I'm a professional. We go on. We do it regardless.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't very happy doing it in clothes that I'd been in for 3 days. But we went on.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him at the beginning of the lecture, apologize it, but this is the way it is. And so you do what you got to do. And I've lectured in every kind of circumstance I think you could ever think of.
I don't know if it's every, but a lot.
Just about.
Mm-hmm.
But that one was the first time I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
I like to dress nice when I'm doing a lecture, but we didn't have any choice. Then you said after it was over, we got back to the hotel room.
A little later than they brought them. They came after the lecture. We got our clothes.
Here comes our clothes then. So we were ready for the class that started the next morning. At least we had clean clothes for that.
Right.
So anyway. But anyway, that was our introduction to Beijing. But the people of China, they're so wonderful. They're so nice. It's not at all like the propaganda that we keep hearing about these countries. You got to go there and experience for yourself. And I know when I was there in March, I was in Shanghai, and the people were fine. I didn't have any problems with them at all. And in Beijing, they're a gentle, very polite people,
right.
Very good people. And they'll do everything they can to help you. And the class, the students were just fantastic. You said it was the first time we have had a class with just all from one country.
Right. Usually in these other countries, we have across a lot of other countries coming. Yeah, and when we're in Europe, probably most anywhere, we have cross sections, you know, different countries. This one was entirely China. So that was interesting.
But they really got it. And that's what is mattering to me. Everywhere we go, they're understanding what I'm trying to teach. And they're getting it because we have a day of practice and they're able to understand it and do it. And you always worry, is it going to get lost in translation? But they're understanding it and they're having really good results. So we were there for 5 days, and when we do the 5-day class, we have one day that we can go and do what we want to do. while they're doing their practicing. That's when we like to go and see the city wherever we are. So they drove us around Beijing. And it was surprising. The streets are so wide.
Right. That was because that was the capital city, and that's where the emperor, the emperor, I don't know what their...
At one time, it would have been the emperor.
Anyway, it's a show of power.
And then it was Mao, you know, that's where he lived when he was in power.
Mm-hmm. But they said it was a show of power to have the very wide streets.
But I had wanted to go see the Forbidden City because I'd heard about it. And when I was reading up on it, they said that was where the emperor lived way back. And it was called the Forbidden City because no one was ever allowed to see the emperor. And he lived there with his family in total seclusion. But I would have liked to have seen it, but it wasn't going to be anyway. They said it's big once you get in there. But we drove by it, and there was a huge crowd out in front, long lines trying to go in. And it was cold in Beijing, wanting to get in. And I said, no, let's forget about it. Let's just drive by. And they also had a big poster of Mao there at that place. So we got some good pictures. And also, I think it was right across the street. It was in the area was Tiananmen Square.
Right.
And if you remember Tiananmen Square, well, I don't, maybe 10 years or more ago now, is where they had the revolt. The first time, I think, was really serious that the Chinese revolted against the government, against Mao. And they had the showdown in Tiananmen Square with the tanks against the crowd of people. So it was very emotional, and there were some really fascinating pictures that were circulated at that time. So I wanted to see that. Well, now it's just a big, open, like park-like setting.
Right.
Setting, you know, it's a big square.
Mm-hmm.
At least we can say we were there. So we drove around and saw all these things. Then we always go shopping, which is our favorite thing to do. But Beijing was it was different than I thought it was going to be. The people were good, polite, and we didn't have any problems at all.
Right. No, it was very nice. I like Beijing. The energy there was a lot nicer than I thought than Shanghai was.
Yeah, I like Shanghai, but Julia said when we got there, we went after Beijing, we went back to Shanghai for a level 2 class, the advanced class. She says she doesn't like the energy there.
It was just too chaotic. It was just very chaotic. I'm not going to say too chaotic, but very chaotic. I don't care for that kind of energy anymore. So.
And it was right by the water, by the ocean. I don't know if that had anything to do with it or
no.
not.
No. There was no way to know you were even by water.
Not really.
Except for the humidity. It's a
big city. It was warmer when we got down there.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Beijing was a really nice city, and they want us to come back.
Right.
Everywhere we go, they want us to come back.
Yeah, we'll probably be going back. It's in November we'll be going back.
For a level 2 class. Or another level 1,
yeah.
2?
Yeah.
I don't know. This whole year, 2013, is planned, but I'm not sure of all the dates and everything. But we also met with the people there that are translating the books into Chinese there. So we're going to be doing business with them anyway and returning there. But the only thing was the food. But it was adapting.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean the only thing was the food?
Different.
Yeah, but they said, what do you like? And they were making these wonderful meals for us and bringing them right to our room and treating us like royalty.
Yeah.
So what? It was just different. They like to put sugar on a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
But and yeah, it was fine, though. The food's fine. It was very fresh and very nice.
And they eat a lot of rice. But it wasn't like the food I had in Shanghai in March, because that really turned me against it. And it's definitely not like Chinese food in America. But Julia said we noticed our bodies were feeling different. She said it was like what do you want to call it? It was getting all the junk out of it from the States. And I hate to say that, people, but The U.S. has the awfulest food with all of the additives and the preservatives in it. You go to other countries and you get food that tastes totally different, tastes good, it tastes fresh.
It tastes, yeah. It has a taste.
It has a taste, and you, when you're over here so much, you don't even notice that until you go somewhere like that, that everything does taste different. And it was almost like it was cleaning the body out of all this additives and all this junk. So we were gone for 3 weeks. We really, the body says, I like this. But then we went on to Shanghai, and I had a 3-day class there, the advanced class. And I thought everything there was fine, too.
Mm-hmm. Now, there you had to eat. Didn't have anybody catering to your needs, and so you had to kind of look a little more for what you wanted to eat.
Yeah, because not the same kind of things we eat for breakfast, and eat a lot of seafood.
Right.
They liked the fish. They liked all these different kinds of seafood. And Julia tries the chopsticks, but I've never tried them.
Well, I can only get a couple of bites with them, and then the fingers stop working.
Well, maybe we go over there enough, you'll get better at it.
Mm-hmm.
But then after going through Shanghai, then we had to go to Taiwan. Because we have another publisher in Taiwan. Oh, we found out during this last year there are two kinds of Chinese. One is traditional and one is simplified.
There's more than that, but those are like main ones, you know, for the
there's
different countries.
Always dialects, but these are the two main. That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And one is read up and down, and the other one is read across. So our publisher in Taiwan, in Taipei, was doing a different kind of Chinese than the one that's on the mainland. So that's why we have another one in Beijing who is going to do the other type of Chinese. So we went to Taipei to meet with the publisher there and have lectures and things. But interesting thing about Taiwan, it's like it's where East meets West. After China is still traditional.
Mm-hmm.
It's more modern than you would think.
Right.
Has a lot of big stores, fancy cars, everybody's dressed nice, a lot of electronics.
I'm sure to see the things that we see, what we think China is, you'd have to go out into the country, out away from the cities. And then you might see what we're always seeing.
That's the way it is in Russia, too, in Moscow. It's not at all where they tell you it is. But otherwise, it's just very modern, but it's very traditional Chinese. But then when we got to Taiwan, it was as though there's a mixture. As though the Western influences from America are definitely making inroads there. You could see East meets West.
Right. Right.
There were a lot of American stores. 7-Eleven was everywhere.
Right. KFC.
KFC was there.
They actually had the KFC. I mean, KFC was in China, but it didn't have what we know to be KFC. Taiwan
not at
did.
All.
It was actually KFC chicken. So.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I said the KFC in China, Colonel Sanders would turn over in his grave. There wasn't anything like there, like the mm-hmm. traditional at all.
No, I took a picture of it, but I don't remember what it was on there. It was funny, the menu.
So when we got to Taiwan, it was the real stuff. And the food was different, but there was just like it was more Western. The whole atmosphere was more Western.
Right. Our plugs will even work in their outlet. That's a biggie.
But it was as though the two were mixing together. Now, in Taipei, they had this huge building. I don't think it's the biggest one in the world, but it is pretty big. It's 101 floors. And it's amazing. They said they put the, the pillars that hold it up all, went all the way down to the bedrock.
Right.
And we went up into that, and you would have thought you were in America. Huge mall in the downstairs part. Then we go all the way up to the top. It's like any of these big towers, you know, anywhere in the world.
Right.
That was fascinating. Mm-hmm. And they told us they can get from one side of, it's an island really, Taiwan is, they can get from one side to the other quickly because they have made tunnels through the mountains. And they can be from one place to another village in just a half hour by going through the mountains instead of going up and over and all the way around. So some of these things they figured out that we could really put into use here. But it was very westernized. That was the difference. Well, then after we left there, we went to Honolulu for a much-needed rest. We came in there, it was about 4 days ahead of time. But we had four days because I was going to do a lecture there with Doreen Virtue. And that was going to be on the next weekend. We said, well, we're going to have these few days. And after 3 months in Europe, 3 weeks over there, I said, let's just take those extra days to do nothing. And what better place to do it than in Honolulu? We could have stayed in Taiwan, but let's just go on early and spend the time in Honolulu. That's what we did. We went in there, and we were 4 days on the beach, Waikiki, and catching on our sleep and getting the time zone and the jet lag out of there.
Right.
So it was good. We needed that downtime. Then Doreen came in on the day of our lecture, and we had a really nice lecture with her at the Unity Church there in Honolulu. And my good friend Pa'ia, who is a kahuna priestess, she came. She wanted to do the blessing before we did the lecture. But Doreen wanted to do this. She said, I want to do something with you before the end of the year, before the end of 2012. Because there's so many people out there, they keep talking about the fear and the doom and the gloom, that we got to show them that it's not that way. It's just not going to be that at all. This is really the new beginning, the hope of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we were doing it for. And so that was our focus for the whole lecture, the two of us doing the lecture together. But she did make an interesting statement during hers. She said people were talking about that date, because that date has been focused on for so many years. She said the earth and the universe really does not go according to the Gregorian calendar. It has its own system. So it doesn't matter what we say, what dates we say, or the Mayans said, or anything. The earth is functioning on its own system. That's why we know nothing's going to happen. But the people really, they liked it. Had a good reception there.
Very good reception. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Didn't you say, I don't think we put this on the radio, I think you were just talking about it on Skype. Didn't you say that you did some research on December 21st? As everybody kept saying, it's supposed to be a lineup of planets.
Right. Well, it was before our conference in July, and we were doing the T-shirts. And I asked our artist to do, I thought it would be cool to have the constellation on, or the planet lineup. That would be the constellation, I guess, wouldn't it? Anyway, the planetary lineup, I thought that would be a nice image on the shirt.
Because they all say it's going to line up in a direct line, and that's the magnetic pull is going to pull the Earth over.
And so he gives me this image, he sends it in, and it's nothing's lineup. These planets are all in these different places and stuff. I'm like, but where's the lineup? And he's like, this lineup, this is what I found. I said, are you sure this is on the 21st of December? And he's like, yeah, and he showed me where he got the information. And so I started doing more research at that point. I was like, well, where does it say about the lineup? And so I was finding things where it said that, but then I was finding other sites that were, you know, supposed to be factual sites and astronomy and all kinds of things, and they were implying that there's not going to be a lineup. So I really don't know. I don't know where that comes from, because it's very reputable sources that say there is going to be a lineup, but then there are equally reputable sources that say no. So I don't know.
So some of them were saying the first time in so many thousand years, all the planets are going to be in a line, pointed toward the center of the galaxy,
I think they said. Mm-hmm.
And that magnetic pull was what was going to cause the end of the world.
Well, or pulling
or make it,
through, it
flip or do something.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I don't... I mean, it's like once every 26,000 years it's supposed to do this whole shifting thing. And...
But, you know, doesn't that show that a lot of things, they're probably misinformation or disinformation, but you repeat something often enough, people are going to believe it.
Right, and I'm just going to say I don't know, because, like I said, I was finding both pieces of information. I don't want to go on record as saying either one. I mean, I just know what I saw. There were disputes all over the place, and there were reputable sources saying both pieces of information. So I really don't know what to believe.
Yeah, but it would be interesting that you repeat the same thing again and again, and then finally people begin to accept it as truth without going and searching it out for themselves.
Right. But I it's only because I thought the T-shirt, like, okay, they're all going to be lined up, because I've seen it on pictures. I've seen them. And I was like, well, wait a minute. And he said, no. He said, this, it doesn't. And that's where I searched, and it doesn't. So, I mean, when they this is where everything's going to be. Now, I think there's going to be, someone was talking about a Uranus trine that was going to be happening that day, and that's supposed to have a heavy effect.
Yeah.
On things, but
well, I know enough about astrology to know if all the planets were lining up, there would be a major conjunction, which would be really big in astrology.
That would be a big deal, and that's what I kept going back. It's like, well, whatever, if they're all lined up, something is going to happen. But then now, you know, is that even going to happen? So it's like...
Because when I was doing the Nostradamus books, and we had the horoscope for the Antichrist, he was born in 62.
Mm-hmm.
He had a major conjunction. It wasn't all the planets. It was a whole bunch of them. I can't remember now off the top of my head how many they were in Aquarius.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the most we'd ever seen. And it was supposed to mean this was a very powerful horoscope. But now that's been, 50 years ago? Something like this. It's been 45 years, 40-something years ago, 62.
62 would be 50 years.
Yeah. So it couldn't happen again that soon anyway, that they would all line up.
It would be unlikely.
That was in one sign. So I don't know, but it makes you wonder where this information is coming from. Is it true? And... you repeat something enough times, you can get a lot of people to believe it.
Yeah, I don't know. I encourage people, do your own research. Check it out yourself and see what you come up with. Get back to us, because I couldn't find definite factual things to say that they were lining up. I just found reputable people saying that they were, but I don't know where their information is coming from.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I always say in my lectures. Don't believe what I say. Don't believe what anyone says. Ask lots and lots of questions and find out for yourself. Then figure out what you believe. What your truth may not be my truth, but at least it'll be yours.
Right.
And then later it'll change.
Yeah, they all will. You know,
because
as we all grow and evolve, we change.
Yeah, we'll say at one time in our life, this is the gospel truth, and then 2 years later, you change.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what growth's all about.
Right. Well, it's also whatever, because as we know, anything is a possibility. And you have all your probabilities and everything. This is some visual they're giving me right now. So it's like,
go ahead.
You have all of these things going on, so really... any and all things are truth. So it's just whatever you are at a point to believe, you know, so it's whatever is works for you at that point. So that's why your truth can change, because it's as you grow and develop and you have a different scope, a different perspective, a different vision, you're able to handle, see, whatever, different scopes of the truth.
That's why you should never get too set in just one belief and turn a blind eye to everything else, because you never know what's true for somebody else. It's true for them, and if you look into it, there may be something there.
And if it's working for them, great.
Yeah, if it's working.
If it's not your truth, that's okay. If it's working for them, wonderful.
Yeah.
If it's not, it's their choice of what they wanted to believe in for their course of action that they want to take in their learning process right now. So it's okay.
There is no right and wrong. It's all just where people are.
It's all experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I decided to throw that in there because we'll know anyway in another week or so.
A week from today.
A week from today is when we're going to be there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they claim, what, that the end of the world is supposed to happen at 11
o'clock? Well, this shift, well, like Michael Perlin said last year, it's supposed to be 11:11, you know, in the UK. So that means over here, like in the Central Time, that would be 5:11.
Because you're 6 hours ahead.
Right.
The season means the different times all over the world, even different days. Is Australia ahead of us?
Mm-hmm.
So that means the end of the world will happen there before it gets here,
No, not if it all happens at the same time. It's all at the same time.
I'm thinking the day is always the day ahead of us.
Yes, but it's all at the same time. Now, when they said when this was supposed to, the shifting is supposed to happen, hey, it's 11:11 in the UK, be 5:11 here, 3:11 in California time. And then you'd have to go, 6 hours ahead for New Zealand time from the UK. So that would put it, that would be on the 22nd then there, because they're ahead.
Okay, I was thinking it was the other way around. Anyway, that's what we said when we traveled this much. Time doesn't mean anything anyway. You never know what time it is,
it shows you how irrelevant it is.
Yeah, you don't know what day it is, you don't know anything about it. So, yeah, it does become irrelevant, unimportant.
Well, my understanding is I've read someplace, anymore I don't know where I get all the information either. I don't know where it comes from, but I remember reading this someplace. And they said that was one of the very definite indicators of the shift, because time is a fourth dimension.
Yeah, it's the fourth dimension.
And we're going into the fifth dimension. So time will no longer be. And so that's one of the things they said, you can tell the time is losing its effect. We don't operate by time as much as we used to, and time really doesn't have much meaning. And it's apparently not just us traveling. A lot of people, that's why, you know, one, the time is speeding up. Two, it just has no relevance. You can't put anything to it anymore. It just slips and it does all these things. It's because traversing work there? Traversing time.
I think that'd be a word, yeah.
That's the word they're giving me, but I don't know that word well enough, so there's a
call. We got a caller?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, time is an illusion. They've told us that time and time again. Okay, we got somebody there?
Okay, it's Janine from Canada. Hi to you, Dolores, and to Julia. I wanted to ask, Dolores, you had mentioned you're working on 3 or 4 books, and Julia, you're working on a book, and I was wondering when these books were going to be out.
Well, remember, there is no time.
Yeah, I don't worry about the end of the world. I'm more interested in getting the books.
I know I've been trying to work on them and travel, and Julia's trying to work on hers and travel, and it is hard when we've got all these other things going on. But now we're home for a little while, and I know Julia has to have hers done.
Yeah, mine will be out in January. It may be the 11th hour of the 31st of January, but it will be January. So I promised it would be.
Because when you're traveling, it was just really hard to do work on it at the same time.
Right. It's really coming together right now.
Sorry, guys. Don't mean to cut you off, but I can't hear anything, so I've got some gremlins at work here. So anyway, I'm going to let you go, and I'm really looking forward to reading your books when you have them out. And I just wanted to tell you, if you can still hear me, that one of the things, you talked about 12-12-12. And I can tell you that two or three days before, I certainly felt a surge of energy, but not necessarily on the 12-12-12. And that was for 3 days that that lasted. And it was more like pressure on the head, the chest, the headache. And within 3 days afterwards, it was gone. And I actually feel great now, so... Anyway, just want to put that out there. Bless you both, and I wish you all the best on the 21st in England. And God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much. Actually, that's a very good comment because we were talking about 12-12-12. I was the same way. I didn't notice anything on 12-12. But on the, let's see, what was last Friday? Would have been the 7th?
Yeah.
Yeah, that, well, see, that would have been 5 days before. That's when I noticed stuff. It was like that's when I had so much stuff happening to me. It was just like, I was being taken through a tornado or something. And so, and I thought, oh, my goodness, is this, you know, if this is like this before the 12th, what's the 12th going to be like? And then, but it could have been, it was just the because a lot of times the stuff leading up to something is more of what you have to work through than the actual energy itself. So
I know whenever I've noticed those energy fluxes, and there was a two in June that I really felt. I noticed it with dizziness.
Mm-hmm.
He said pressure and headache.
Yeah, that's more the stuff. It was like, oh my goodness, it was like the it was an intense pressure. I don't know that I've had pressure. I felt pressure like that before. That it was. It was major, and I really thought I was going to, it was just like I was imploding. So
we thought maybe it was just all the stuff we've been through, and you were under a lot of pressure coming back and trying to catch up.
Right, but it literally was. It's one thing to be under pressure, but this literally was a pressure, and it was like, it was on my head and everything, and I thought, I have never felt it like that before. So I thought it was just the other, but then it did cross my mind that it was this other, because it was a different energy.
Well, with me, it's been dizziness whenever it hits like that. And they did say it was going to increase, but I haven't felt it any more since June. But I think everybody's feeling it in a different way.
It's all different. It's all different.
Different symptoms and different people feel it more intense than others.
But her other question was about your books, because I answered my question, but on your books, why don't you go ahead and give some kind of an idea of what you're doing and what kind of...
Well, I am working on three more books, and people keep saying, when's the next book coming out? What's it going to be? It'll be whichever one gets done first.
Right.
Because when I was doing Convoluted 4, I was under a heavy deadline then. That's why I said I'm not going to be under a deadline like that again. But when I was doing that, it was getting too big, and so I took about 300 pages out. And I was looking at that, and I was thinking of having that be a separate book. It deals with sacred knowledge and the lost knowledge of what was people knew way, way back in time and how people were trained in those days, the secret mystery schools. But I kept looking at it, and I don't think it's enough for a book. Of course, my figure, I can go back to doing smaller books. My other books have been so big now.
I know, just people don't expect that from you anymore. They expect the big ones.
Great,
it's
big
weird
ones.
I think they feel cheated or something when a little book comes out.
Because I know in the beginning I had several books that were smaller. Hiroshima, Between Death and Life, a lot of those were in the Five Lives, those were smaller books. I thought I could do that, but then I got to thinking, I don't know if it'll stand alone. I have a lot of material that is going to be for Convoluted 5. So I thought maybe I could combine that material with this. So we'll see. That's what I'm thinking now. Then the other book is the one a lot of people said they're waiting for, is The Horns of the Goddess. That is magic in the Middle Ages, whenever the so-called witches, which were nothing more than nature worship, when they were being persecuted by the church and they were killing them all during the Inquisition. And it has kind of magic and how they worked. And that's what a lot of people said they wanted that book to come out. But I held on to it for a long time. The material came through 20 years ago. But at that time, I didn't feel comfortable writing about the church in that way. Because, you know, in those days, the church come down on you pretty hard. Now, they're not bothering us metaphysical people as much, I don't
think.
Well,
and I think it's because people in themselves, I mean, a lot of shifting has happened. So people's perspective of the church, they don't hide them and hold them in the same esteem. They're kind of they're coming down to be looked at on more of an even keel rather than they are the almighty.
I think a lot of the scandals have caused some of that. But in those days, I just didn't think how would people accept it if I were going to talk about all the horrible things the church was doing to people during the Inquisition. So that's one that's almost finished. Only thing I'm doing now is research into that, those times and what was really going on during the Inquisition. So that is, all these books are getting to the point they're almost ready. Then the other material, the other book, is old material that I got in the very beginning of my work, because I had people who would go through as many as 30 past lives. I don't have time to do that anymore. But they were really wonderful stories and of times and the history in those places and theology and all of that. So I thought of putting all of that into one book and to show how it all checked out. And especially when they have so many lives from one person, how it all interacted, to show the karma from one life may not be paid back for a couple of lives later, but how it all interweaves and connects.
Right, and how all the lives affect each other.
Yeah, and how they do. And when you're in that one life, you can't see, why did these things happen to this person? Because there was nothing in that life to justify a horrible death or something. But this way you can see how one influences the other. So that one is going to be a book too. So I'm working on a lot of material because I've got so much. I don't think I'm ever going to run out.
Right.
Then I'm still getting more too from my clients.
Right.
So those are some of the ones I'm working on right now. And I just don't want to be put under the pressure of a deadline again. But I know in 2013 there will be another book by me out.
At least one.
At least one.
You heard it here first. You'll have at least one book out next year.
Yeah, last year was two books, and that was a lot of pressure. But the Three Waves has really created a lot of attention. People all over the world, China, everywhere, relate to it. Everywhere I go, there's that feeling of, I thought I was all alone in the world. They don't want to be here. They don't like it here. They don't understand the violence. They want to go home. Don't know where home is. They just know it's not here, and they want to go home. And many of them want to commit suicide to get out. Now, I'm finding this in every country we go, so I know it's a worldwide phenomenon.
Right.
So it also shows these people coming in with this special energy are coming in all over the globe.
Well, that would be it's got to be scattered. It's got to be put everywhere so that it can raise the energy
of the whole planet.
Of the whole world. Well, it's of the people to go with the planet. The planet's doing it on her own, but the people are what needed to help.
It's because the changing of the vibration and frequency. And, of course, I was finding so many in America. But then as I began to travel and do sessions everywhere else, I found it was happening everywhere. And we've all been told hundreds of thousands of people now have come in, the volunteers, And so they figure we have tipped the scales and we can now save the earth.
I'd like to, every time you say save the earth.
Well, those days they thought we were going to destroy the earth.
Okay. And that's not an issue. I mean, well, I don't know if it is or not, but it's like every time you say that, it's like something happens up here. It's like that's not, the earth wasn't in jeopardy. It was more of the people accomplishing their goal of doing this shift and everything. That's what was in jeopardy and going with the earth. So when I'm not sure. I know the call went out and said, earth is in trouble. Who wants to help?
Mm-hmm.
But every time you say it was to save the earth, that it's almost like a screech, like brake screeching, like that's not quite right or something. So I don't know.
But it was the feeling of raising the energy.
Of the people.
Of the people,
the people,
so they could affect the earth.
The earth was going to do it. She's doing it all by, she was doing it anyway.
Yeah.
She didn't need, she was doing it. Remember, you say that in your own lectures. She's going whether you go or not.
Yeah, she's going into her next incarnation.
So it's whether you want to go, if you're going to go. So it's the people that had to raise their vibrations, the people that had to change their attitudes, it's the people that had to shift. The earth's shifting. It's the people, if you want to go, they have to shift. So it was all these people came in to raise the energies of the consciousness of the people in,
but
as a whole.
The reason that the call went out in the first place was because we were coming to the point we could have destroyed the earth.
So in that, but again, you had to raise the consciousness. You had to shift the thought processes of the people. The earth wasn't going to destroy herself. She was shifting.
We could have.
She's like, yeah, they could have, and that could have messed up her plan to shift. So in that way, okay, so in that way, it's kind of saving. It's helping the earth.
Yeah, because they couldn't allow it to happen.
Right.
I've had several sessions lately where people were there when all of this happened to the earth before, and it was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And but they had to do it, and then they had to start it all over again.
Right.
And that's what they said, you start all over again from the primitive state.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to do that.
Right.
But anyway, the information is still coming through from everybody. And we are at a very pivotal time right now.
Now, your clients that are coming in right now, I know you tell me about a lot of the, you know, I mean, not, you don't tell me about the clients, but you tell me kind of the trends that are coming. The ones that you're getting right now, are they still waves? I mean, are they still saying, okay, I'm here to help, or I'm here to do this, I'm here to do that, or are you seeing another trend, or what's your trend right now?
Well, they don't like it here. They don't want to be here. And they're very unhappy, but it's following the same trend, and we find out they are in these age groups that fall into the three waves category. So I think that is continuing. I'm just getting more information that they were around when all this happened. Some of them were watching from spaceships and things, but they were all here. I don't know if there's another trend or not. The ones who are here now realize what their job is, and they're doing it. Or they don't think they are. They just think they're unhappy. They don't like it here, but their energy is very important.
Absolutely.
And it is making a big difference in what's happening to the world.
Right. Well, that, just by the very being here.
Yeah.
Is raising the energy.
That's what they said, just to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they think they're not doing anything, but they are by just being.
Absolutely.
So don't get the idea that you're unimportant and you're not doing anything, because you are. Just by volunteering to be here in this time, in this place, this is a monumental time in history.
Well, and it all has effects. Okay, so the ones coming in, do they shift? They help the ones that have been here that couldn't shift, that couldn't do it on their own. They're helping them to now cause their own shifting. Then that shifting, see, is raising energy. So it's that everybody's doing it now. It's not just the ones coming in. Everybody is playing, has their part to play in this whole thing now.
Because they said, especially the second wave, they're here just to spread this energy to everyone. And it's like a domino effect. But don't think you're unimportant because you're not doing anything. You are, just your energy affecting everyone you come into contact with. It's a very important time.
Right.
Well, we're going to have to sign off, but anyway, next Friday, we won't be here. We'll be in London. But I want everybody to be, what, aware and see what they feel? Or
Just put love out there. That's always the very best thing we can do all the time, is just put love out there. Absolutely do not go to fear. And let's just have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Just have fun with everything that happens.
And then wake up on the 22nd and say, hey, look, we're all still here.
And we're in a much better world because we are in love.
We're in love, and as Doreen, we were saying, welcome to the new world. It'll be a lot better than you think. Okay, so it's time to go now, and whenever we come back, it'll be after Christmas, and we'll continue then.
Right.
So thanks, everyone, for listening tonight.
Good night, and Merry Christmas, and Happy New Earth, and Happy New Year, and Happy New Everything. Wonderful days.
Okay, everybody have a nice Christmas, because we won't get back here till Christmas Eve. Okay, so thanks for listening tonight. Good night.
Good night.